Praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome back to the table. I'm Cody Dewitt.
I am Trey Bird.
And we are here to talk to you about Christmas time. Christmas time is here. Merry Christmas to you and your family. So we're going to talk a lot about Christmas today. We're going to share some Christmas memories, talk about the Christmas story, read the Christmas story. Brother Trey, bless his heart, he's a man of many facts, and he's going to hit us with them today.
Some facts are useless, pointless, do you no good in life, whereas others, like this one perhaps, will probably help you out tremendously. So we're just going to take a look at the Bible today and and read through the Christmas story and just kind of discuss what the Bible says versus what common belief is today, I think. We got a lot of ground to cover. I don't know how quickly Brother Cody's wanting to move along here.
Just as quick as it takes. You know, we're not on a schedule, bro.
Yeah. We had a great, grand, awesome plan to have a lot of people here on this episode today. We were going to sing some Christmas songs, and we were just going to have a good old hoedown. And I guess that didn't play out.
Scheduling.
Yeah.
Scheduling conflicts.
It's the will of the Lord, I think, that it's worked out the way that it has. I apologize for my voice. Brother Cody and I have been out spreading tidings of good cheer and joy throughout the community.
For those that don't know, Brother Trey and I are hospice chaplains, and we decided earlier this month that, you know, this month we needed to go around, and we used to go everywhere to, you know, different facilities and stuff, and I play guitar and he sings, and we'll sing these old gospel songs. Well, we decided this year that we needed to go around and play some Christmas songs. So that's what we've been doing all day, playing for residents and just various patients in their homes and in different facilities. And so Brother Trey's voice, he's been singing all day long. I've been playing. My fingertips are sore. But we're here.
We are here.
And we're glad to be here. Amen. What do you want to start with, bro?
Let's start by reading the Christmas story.
Okay.
I like to go to Luke chapter 2. For that particular story, and I'm going to read it in the King James Version. I asked Brother Cody before we started recording, should I read it in King James Version or should I read it in Aramaic?
And I think the answer to that is
not many people go around reading the Aramaic English New Testament.
So we're going to do that for you today. Yeah. We're going to read it in Aramaic.
Yeah, right.
No,
for studying, it's very good to have the Aramaic English New Testament. I know on Android system, you have to pay like $10 for the app. But it really is helpful when you try to study the Bible from the aspect of the language that it would have originally been spoken in. Jesus very commonly would have spoken in Aramaic, and that was a common language in those days. And so when you read the Aramaic English New Testament, you skip a few translations between when he said it and what we're reading on the page.
Right.
Oftentimes you lose meanings, true meanings of words, when you're going from Aramaic to Greek to English or, you know, whatever it is. I'm going to spare you all that. I'm going to read Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20 in the King James Version. And this talks about Jesus' birth in Bethlehem, obviously. Starting in verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed." That's a mighty big tax there, yeah. Brother. It was a census. He wanted the number of people in the kingdom at that time. Verse 2, it says, "And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone in his own city. So Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David." Joseph was a direct descendant of King David. So was Mary. Verse 5 says, "To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child." My wife is great with child.
She's great with child.
Shout out to my wife, Christina. We love you.
We do, and looking forward to March.
Baby bird. Verse 6, "And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered." In essence, she gave birth.
Right.
Verse 7, "And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." Verse 8, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go, even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Verse 19, But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. What an awesome story.
Amen.
A really awesome story of the birth of Jesus. It's so important to read this and to know this story, especially this time of year, Brother Cody.
Absolutely, because that's what it's all about.
Amen.
Remember, it's all about the birth of Jesus, and it's just a great little reminder to read those verses and reminisce on this story.
Yeah. Jesus is the reason for the season, absolutely. That's cliche, but I went there. I want to talk about this. Brother Cody had mentioned that we're going to talk about the Christmas story. And despite of what a lot of the Christmas songs say, and despite what you may think you know about Christmas, it is so easily mixed up. The story is twisted, and there's just a lot of information. I know that that biblical story there is slightly vague, but really with a good deal of studying the Word of God and putting people around you that are a whole lot smarter than you, than me, I first heard this taught by Bishop Dobbs, excuse me. We were at a Campus Ministry International meeting at the University of Southern Mississippi about this time last year, and they had asked Bishop Dobbs to come and preach, or teach, rather. And he decided to blow everyone's mind with the story of the birth of Jesus and what it really is,
right?
Compared to what people believe, you know, it to be. He started out telling us about this tower called Migdol Eder. Have you ever heard of that?
I think I've heard it only from him talking about it.
Yeah. It's a tower called Migdol Eder. You first read about it in the Bible. I think it's in Genesis chapter 35. It's mentioned when Rachel dies, all right? And it's mentioned in reference to the location of her tomb. And it's mentioned, when you walk by Migdol Eder, I'm paraphrasing, I guess, it's within this vicinity of Migdol Eder. Migdol Eder was a tower built in the area of Bethlehem. And Migdol Eder was a very special tower. Now, to give you a little bit of more information, a little more backstory, the shepherds would use these towers. They would build, they looked like just round towers, I guess you could say. I guess the only reference I could make, Brother Cody, is Biloxi has a lighthouse.
Mm-hmm.
Pascagoula has a lighthouse that's built out of brick.
Right.
And in my mind, I would imagine it would look something like that, maybe a round structure coming out of the ground. Maybe it was square. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
There are no current pictures of it. Really, I think the current location of it is contested, not really known. Maybe it is known. That's not important at this moment. Migdol Eder was the tower around Bethlehem that the shepherds would use to birth baby sheep.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so, but it wasn't just any sheep. It wasn't just any tower. It wasn't just any shepherds. Everything was very significant about this tower, and every person that went into it, every sheep that was born inside of it, all of that was very important. And I'm going to cover that in this story, but I just wanted to make mention that Bishop Dobbs first taught this, so don't think I'm some great scholar. Don't think I am. I actually reached out to him this week to ask him about it again.
Study has been done.
Yeah, and he gave me some references and told me to, in essence, Trey, just Google it.
Yeah, Google it, son.
And so anyway, that's what I did. So here's the information that I have. So just bear with me. It's going to be a lot of talking, and we'll try to take a little break in between and ask questions and answer questions, whatever it may be. But I'm just going to hit this thing running. So when Luke wrote this portion of his letter, it would have been known to the original audience what he was referencing, and really the religious significance of the Bethlehem shepherds and why they were watching their flocks by night. You see, the sheep in that time and those that breed of sheep and in that area, sheep only had babies certain times of the year,
mm-hmm.
because they were only bred certain times of the year. And so the sheep would have been born in spring or in the fall, according to what I've read. If the sheep were bred late, they would be born in the fall. Whereas if they were bred on time and properly, they would have been born in the spring with all of the other sheep.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very significant that these shepherds were watching their flocks by night, because at night is when the predators are out, right?
Right.
You get coyotes and wolves and lions and bears, all those things that David slew with his bare hands. So the shepherds were out at night watching their flocks for mother sheep that would have been birthing or getting ready to birth their baby sheep. And so, you know, while it may have been a common practice to watch your flocks by night, this was a very specific and very particular event that these shepherds were doing this at this time of year. It gives us a reference to what time of year it was.
Right.
It was the birthing time, and these sheep were having babies. It was very, very significant. So the hills around Bethlehem were home to thousands. I did not know this. They were home to thousands of lambs used in ritual worship in the temple. If you sacrificed a lamb in the temple, it came from Bethlehem.
Yeah.
It came from that area in Bethlehem. So as a boy, get this, as a boy, King David would likely have tended sheep destined for the daily offerings and used in the sacrifices on the high holidays in those very places, in the places David, King David himself, very likely watching his father's sheep, would have been watching the sheep that were sacrificed in the temple.
Wow.
It's pretty interesting. Every day, according to the Torah, two lambs were required for a daily sacrifice in the temple. So let's break this down. We're going to get mathematical here.
Oh, good.
Real quick. Yeah. A year in the Hebrew calendar. Get this. This is so strange. I hope this is correct. A year in the Hebrew calendar can be 353 days, 354, 355, or 383, 384, or 385 days long. So you've got six options there as to which length that year is going to be.
And, yeah.
And here it is. Regular common years have 12 months with a total of 354 days. A leap year in the Hebrew calendar has 13 months, and the leap year is 384 days long. Months with uneven numbers usually have 30 days, while months with even numbers have 29 days. That's strange, right?
Yeah.
In addition to these regular year lengths, both common and leap years can be a day shorter or a day longer. So that's how you get the mixture of days.
Yeah.
But the whole point of that is this: breaking down the number of days in a year determines how many sheep, how many lambs you need,
right,
to sacrifice. If you're sacrificing two a day, it comes out to like anywhere from 706 to 770 sacrificial lambs a year. That is 706 to 770 spotless, without blemish lambs,
yeah,
that would have been born in Bethlehem. And so some of your gears are already turning. I can hear it. People are making that connection. The sacrificial lambs that were sacrificed in the temple were born in Bethlehem. And so was Jesus.
Right.
Right. He was mm-hmm. born in the same place. Let's look at it a little bit further. Everyone in Israel would have recognized Bethlehem as being synonymous with the sacrificial lambs, right? So when you talked about the sacrificial lambs in the temple, you automatically, your brain would have went to Bethlehem, because you knew, the Israelites knew, they knew that's where they came from. And so for those of you that have read the Bible and studied or heard it preached around Christmas time, you know Micah, the Hebrew prophet, foretold of the Messiah's birth in Bethlehem, if you read Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. And also, it says, Micah also prophesied, "And you, O tower of the flock,
mm-hmm.
The stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto you shall it come, even the first dominion. The kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem." That's Micah 4 and 8. So Micah foretells the birth of the Savior in Bethlehem. That tower of the flock in Hebrew is Migdol Eder. It's Migdol Eater. Very neat. So, my goodness, there's so much information. So the shepherds would have been staying close by, obviously. They would have been staying close by to Migdol Eater because that's where the sacrificial lambs were birthed. They had to stay close because I could just assume that birth doesn't wait for no one.
Right, exactly.
When the time comes, it's time to have that baby.
Time to go.
Which we'll soon know, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So here we go. Let's move forward. On the night in which Jesus was born, the angelic message came to those priests of the temple. There were actually ordained, consecrated priests that ran the temple. Obviously, we know that. But also at Migdol Eater, that room that the lambs were birthed in had to be ceremoniously clean, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because the sacrificial lambs had to be spotless. They had to be without blemish. It had to be within the law of Moses. And if you've ever read the law, you know it's very specific. It's very particular. These were not just any sheep, any lamb. These were not just any shepherds. Migdol Eater was just not any other watchtower that the shepherds would have watched their flocks by night from. That's where the sacrificial lambs were kept. It's very, very specific. Isn't it like God to do something like that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
To have it, to orchestrate it even down to the very place that Jesus would have been born.
Mm-hmm.
To have such significant meaning, it's amazing. So here we go. The shepherds who kept them were men who were specifically trained for this very royal task. They were educated in what an animal that was to be sacrificed had to be. They knew what to look for. They knew where to check for spots. They knew where to look for blemishes. They knew how to comb over this baby lamb to make sure that it would pass the test or fulfill the law or fulfill the requirements, rather, that it could be used as a sacrificial lamb in the temple. Pretty interesting stuff. There's a lot more detail there, but we're going to, for the sake of time, we're going to just leave it at that. Being themselves under special rabbinical care, these priests would have strictly maintained a ceremonially clean birthing place. They had to have a clean room that was clean to keep these lambs clean. But here's the reason why. Once birthed, the priestly shepherds would routinely place two lambs, get this, in the double-hewn depression of a limestone rock known as the manger, all right? And they would wrap these newborn lambs in swaddling clothes, preventing them from thrashing about and harming themselves until they had calmed down, all right? So you picture in your mind, Mama Lamb walks in, she's blah, you know, she's ready to go.
Yeah.
Right? The it's happening. And so these workers inside of Migdol Eater help her and assist her in giving birth to these lambs. And so as soon as these lambs come out, these workers are taking up these this lamb or these, you know, however many there are, and they're wrapping them in swaddling clothes to keep them from being thrashing about, kicking around, falling, stumbling. You know, they can't walk yet. Their legs are weak. And so they take these lambs and they wrap them in the swaddling clothes and they lay them in these depressions of lime. And, you know, they had hewn out a hole or, you know, mm-hmm. something into the limestone rock. And they would put those lambs in that little hole so that they couldn't hurt themselves.
Right.
All right. They had to, you know, if the lamb fell and scraped up his knee or, you know, bruised his nose or something, he couldn't be used in the sacrifice.
Right.
Because he was blemished.
Now he was blemished.
Right. And so the manger was the place that these lambs were laid to keep them safe, wrapped in swaddling clothing. So when the angel appeared to these shepherds in the field and told them, your Savior's been born in the manger in Bethlehem, they knew exactly where to go. Because in Migdol Eater, there was only one manger or one place where the manger would have been.
Yeah.
So it's not like I was telling you earlier today, it's not like they had to wander around Bethlehem and try to find, you know, knock on this person's door. Hey, you know, blah, blah, blah. No, they went exactly to the place that they were supposed to. In the King James Version, I was reading and doing, I'll throw this in real quick. As I mentioned, the Aramaic and the Greek, and when you're translating all of this stuff, the real translation, the King James reads in a manger.
Right.
But the original text indicates the whatever Greek word this is, it's basically TH, Strong's G3588. It's not translated as A. So, an example, a manger. It was translated as the manger.
Yeah.
And, you know, at some point in time when the Bible being translated, that was smoothed over, it says, from what I read, probably in an attempt to smooth out the text. What difference is there between A and D?
Right.
I don't know. But at some point in time, over time, that was changed from a manger to the manger. Very significant. Some people wonder, you know, and I'm not dissing the New King James, but sometimes people will read the New King James because it's easier to read, or there's no thee or thou or anything like that. It just goes to show you even the smallest change in the original text, it makes a big difference.
That's exactly right.
It makes a big difference. It made a big difference here.
Right.
So when you read in a manger, that gives you the belief in your mind that they had to go search out and find what in they would, you know, versus the manger.
Well, it'll be like me telling you, you'll find it in Mississippi in a crib.
Right.
You know, that's not, that could be anywhere.
That could be
but
anywhere.
But they knew exactly where to go.
Yeah.
And exactly like you said.
If I tell you, you know, if we, our whole life we've lived in Barton, Mississippi, and I tell you, I come in one day and we're sitting around playing video games, and I say, Cody, I'm going to run to the store. You know what store I'm going to.
Yeah.
Right? You know it's probably going to be Jiffy Mart.
Probably.
You know what I'm saying? If that's where we've lived our entire life and the store has always been the store.
Right.
You know where I'm going.
Yeah.
Right? And I know where you would go if you were saying the same thing. It's the same thing that this angel would have done. Go to the manger. That's where he's at. And so these shepherds, they flock to the manger. they get to the manger and they find wee baby Jesus there. And so hearing that Jesus was born in Bethlehem would have automatically triggered an image of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. These Jews knew this. They knew these prophecies, you know, because the law and the all of those things are read to them. And their parents read these to them. You know, they know this book. They know the Word of God. And so when the angels appeared to the shepherds and told them this story of what had happened, they knew this was significant. They knew it was very significant. So, man, it's just, it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. I find it very just awestruck, you know, when Bishop told us this story to begin with. So let's address real quick, or I guess in the next step here, Brother Cody, let's talk about the swaddling clothes. When you swaddle a baby, I really don't know what that means, other than the fact I've seen pictures where photographers, they wrap these babies up so tight that their head's just poking out.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And they're wrapped up so tight that their arms can't flail about.
Like they're a little pod.
Exactly. They can't hurt themselves. They can't kick and all this stuff like this. So by approaching this subject from the Hebrew perspective, we'll see that swaddling clothes is what was used in Migdol Eder, right? Mm-hmm. And so that in itself is significant that the Bible actually mentions Jesus was wrapped in swaddling clothes.
Right.
They wouldn't have had swaddling clothes anywhere else.
Exactly.
They wouldn't have had it at your mama's house. They wouldn't have, you know, swaddling linen was specific for Migdol Eder, and they used it to wrap those sacrificial lambs. So just like the lambs were wrapped in swaddling clothes, they were going to be sacrificed, so too was Jesus.
Right.
And you see the parallel here. You see exactly God orchestrated all of that.
None of it was by accident.
No.
It was the angel was literally telling them, he's wrapped in swaddling clothes. You know what that means. He's going to be the sacrificial lamb that's going to save his people from his sins. I mean, none of it's by accident.
No. There's even a reference here that I studied out. Binding an animal for sacrifice is the Hebrew achida. I hope that's right.
Perfect.
Specifically mentioned in Abraham's binding of Isaac for the sacrifice. When Abraham had to take Isaac to the top of the mount, it tells us that in Genesis 22:9 that Abraham had to bind Isaac. He had to tie him up just like he would. Just like another sacrifice would have been done.
Right.
It's the same thing, the same essence here. It's really amazing. It's really not a stretch to see Jesus in the manger of the birthing room of Migdol Eder, having been swaddled in bands used for the lambs brought there for the inspection before the sacrifice. It's not hard when you know this, and when you know the location, the true location of his birth. Migdol Eder was not an inn, right? He wasn't. Mary and Joseph didn't knock on the inn door and say, we can't let you stay here. These people were going for the census. They were going to be counted, and they had to return to their families. And I heard Bishop preach that it was their family that turned them away.
Right.
It wasn't some Joe Schmo that ran an inn or a hotel or anything like that. It was their family that said, no, if she's in labor, she can't stay here.
Right.
And here's why. It's pretty amazing. Let's talk about this. In the Hebrew custom, in the Jewish customs, there was a blood was a big issue.
Yeah.
Right? And blood was a big thing. And so here we go. Hope I haven't lost you. According to the Torah, when a woman had an issue of blood for any reason, she was ritually unclean for that time and for 7 days thereafter. She remained ceremonially unclean until she was purified by entering a mikvah, which was basically water immersion, a bath. Mm-hmm. You know, you had to be bathed, immersed in water, in the witnessing presence of a rabbi. So if Mary is giving birth to Jesus, there's obviously blood involved here.
Right.
All right, I don't want to think about that, but...
Let's not.
Okay. Anyway, for Mary to come into Joseph's family's home and give birth to Jesus, in essence, would have caused that entire family, that entire household, to be ceremonially unclean, ritually unclean.
Yeah.
And so it's easier for Mary to go to the place where that is allowed, right? The birthing floor of Migdol Eder. That is allowed. It's not allowed in the home because it would have caused the entire family, the entire household, to be ritually unclean. And they all would have had to go through the whole entire process, 7 days, and then, going through the mikveh and being witnessed by a rabbi in the winter, right? Being washed.
Exactly.
So, that would have caused the entire house to be unclean. And so you can understand from that perspective why Mary wasn't allowed into the home, why there wasn't a room, right? Why there wasn't anywhere that Mary could have given birth to Jesus. If she was in labor, it could only be in a certain place.
Right.
So it just makes perfect sense. Send her to Migdol Eder. Send her to where the lambs are birthed. That room is designed for that.
Mm-hmm.
It's set up to handle that blood, and it's set up for all of that. That's why, the story goes, they came to the inn and there was no room. And so he told them to go to the stable and find a manger. That's not the case.
Yeah.
They had to go to Migdol Eder. They had to go to the birthing floor and be birthed there. It's amazing. It says here, with this understanding, there being no place for them in the Cataluma. Cataluma would be regarded as completely appropriate. That word Cataluma, where is it in my notes here? Oh my goodness. Somebody right now that's listening is saying, this is what it means. So I've said a lot. There's been a lot said here. I know it may have been hard to follow. But it really just points out the fact that God orchestrated the birth of Jesus, right? If God is going to manifest himself in flesh, he obviously designed it how it was supposed to be.
Right.
He laid it out even down to the very minute tale that everything that happened the night that Jesus was born was orchestrated by God.
Absolutely.
Some of you may or may not know this. Some of you may, have already realized all of this and studied all of this out. Jesus was not born on December the 25th. Because December was not the time when those lambs would have been born.
Right.
I'm not going to sit here and try to convince you of any specific date, but I do know that he was not born on December the 25th because in December, lambs weren't being born.
Right.
It wasn't even that season. And you can study that out for yourself. Go and read about why I say that his birth was not on December the 25th. Just go read that out. To try to bring all of this together, I could talk about the Passover.
There's so much to it.
I could talk about how all of this plays into the birth of John. Brother Cody, we could talk about the wise men.
Mm-hmm.
There's just so much that revolves around the birth of Jesus.
Yep.
The star. It's amazing. All of the stuff, we recognize, I guess, as a society, and we celebrate the birth of Jesus on December the 25th. But in reality, that's not when he was born.
Right.
But, you know, we said all of that to say the Christmas story is real.
It is real.
And it actually happened. And it's very significant, I think, in my mind, since I've learned all of this.
Mm-hmm.
It's really helped my perspective of Christmas. And it's really helped my perspective of just making sure that things are biblically correct and accurate, and that we're understanding things the way they're meant to be understood and the way they actually happened.
Amen.
So that's a lot, but please go study this out some more. And
yeah, this information is out there.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't just stuff that's available to us and us alone. You can go research this stuff, and there's definitely, trust me, you should see the papers we've got here. There's so much we're not going over. But, you know, just know, as Brother Trey said, that Jesus is the reason for the season. There's a lot to it, and it's actually quite fun to learn about.
It is.
It is.
So what's some of your, you know, obviously we're talking about Christmas here. When we went and sang to these patients today, we sang Christmas songs and Oh Holy Night and Silent Night. And
First Noel.
Go Tell It on the Mountain. And, you know, all of those songs about the birth of Jesus and mm-hmm. how joyous an event that was. What's some of your favorite Christmas memories?
Man, one that really sticks out, it was, of course, as a kid, there was this year when I got a go-kart.
Oh,
and
dear.
Yeah.
That's every young boy's dream.
Oh, man, it was like a dream yeah. come true. I remember that day that all of the secrecy, everybody, you know, looking back, was being really shady and don't go here, don't go there. And come to find out, they were waiting on Pawpaw to get back with it. It was still on the trailer, you know. And I just remember when I realized what was going on, and I saw it on the trailer, like a dream come true, you know. And I ran that thing into the dirt, man. I ran it. It finally reached a point to where, you know, I had the first self-driving go-kart. That thing would get locked up every now and then, and I'd have to run after it, and it'd run into a tree. And
oh, dear.
I finally tore the thing up. But, man, just that memory of, you know, when you're a kid, you are excited about the gifts and that side of things.
You are.
They definitely stressed the real reason for Christmas, and it's not all about the gifts, but for me, I sure was thankful for them.
Yeah.
And that was just a good memory, how everybody was acting. And then another one would have to be just the fact that, and this is, I'm gonna out myself here. I used to be a little sneaky
Uh-oh.
When I was a kid, and I would, well, I'll just say this. I may or may not have occasionally snuck into there and taken a peek at some of my presents.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And there was one time, Mama had gotten me this Buzz Lightyear video game
mm-hmm.
for like one of the Nintendo things, and I knew it was there, and so I went and I looked around to see, you know, which one of these presents is about that size, and I found it and I peeked at it. Well, me being the loser that I was, I was convinced myself, you know, I'm going to go in there and tell her that, you know, accidentally ripped it open. And, well, since it's open, I might as well go ahead and get it, you know, that kind of thing. So I did, man. I took it in there. She was laying in bed, and I made up my little story, whatever it was, and thinking I was going to, you know, get my present early since it was already open. And she went along with, like, oh, yeah, I see. Well, you know. Things happen, you know, blah, blah, blah. She knew that
sure.
I was full of it.
Oh, yeah.
But, and then she, when I was like, well, I guess I should just take it, huh? She smiled real big and said, no, sir. That's just just little things like that, you know,
yeah.
just little memories like that. But I like Christmas. I love Christmas time, but, you know, it's a whole lot more stressful as an adult than it was as a child.
Oh, man.
So, you know how it goes.
Yeah, you're right.
What about you, man? What's some of those memories?
Bro, my mom always made Christmas excellent. She always made it top notch. Even if it wasn't a lot, it seemed like it as a kid, just because she made it that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember homemade ornaments for the tree, and you know, we made the popcorn strings and cut the construction paper into little loops and mm-hmm. glued them together, and that's what we did. And she made that so special, you know. And to me, looking back now, it means so much more than to, you know, having all of the same ornaments hanging on the tree or make sure everything matches or going with any kind of theme. I was thinking about it lately, you know, and I miss her. She's not here. But I was thinking about it lately. I would give anything to see one of those trees from, you know, my childhood again.
Mm-hmm.
I would give anything to have some of those ornaments. And they may still be at her house, I'm not sure. But, you know, I messaged my little brother the other day, and I was like, hey, would you happen to know if any of that stuff's there? And he claims it is. And it may be, and it may be something I can go look for. But
yeah,
above all, before I say anything else, above everything, she always went above and beyond and made it super special.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it was homemade stuff, even if it wasn't a go-kart. I think that was on my list every year.
Yeah.
Is to have a go-kart. And I never in my childhood owned a brand new go-kart.
Mm-hmm.
My stepdad had found one from a friend or something and did some bartering or trading or whatever and got it, and we worked on it for a while, and it ran for a long time until I wore it out, I guess.
Yeah.
And, I had a go-kart, and we had four-wheelers and stuff like that. But, man, just doing stuff with my mom. My stepdad's family lived in Leakesville, and every Christmas Eve or around that time, we would travel to Leakesville and go visit his family. I remember those long rides in the back of the truck, you know, and it's dark and late, and I'm looking out the window looking for Santa Claus, you know. We would make them turn on the television to the news channel where they're tracking Santa.
Right.
You know, we're always looking, and we're, you know, when he would get close to Mississippi, we'd tell Mom, we got to get home.
Yeah.
Because if we're not there when he shows up, he can't put the gifts out, you know, until we're asleep, you know. And just, I was such a believer as a kid. I bought into all that.
You know, Google Maps does that now.
Does it really?
Yeah, they have it where you can track Santa, see where he's at.
I'm going to have to try that.
I think I got the update for it this morning.
That's pretty neat.
It is.
Wow.
It is.
Yeah, stuff like that, man. Just the sentimental stuff. It meant a lot to me when my mom was still alive. Our family would always get together and, you know, had those meals and things. And so now it's changed. So much has changed. But now it's my wife and I and her family.
Yeah.
And, I had a great mom and I had a great stepdad and grandmother. My grandmother made everything so special as well. But it's, you know, I've really seen a different aspect of family since being married to Christina and being a part of her family.
Mm-hmm.
To them, it's just at a level that I never saw. And that's not dissing my family. But it meant so much more to them to just be with one another. So that's all I'll say on that. But I learned a lot about family when I married her.
Yeah.
And when I became a part of her family and got it. And so their Christmas traditions are different than the ones I grew up with. And so it's even 7 years of marriage, I'm still getting used to those things.
Right.
And so, but it's all beautiful and it's all great. And I'm so excited to be, you know, a part of that. But all of the sentimental, special little things that my mom put into it. Of course, we always had great gifts, and that was, like you said, every kid's thing to try to mm-hmm. stay up and catch Santa or to try to sneak around. And I remember one time, bro, I have a story just like that. At my grandmother's house, she had a gift wrapped up, and I was convinced I knew what it was. And it was heavy, and it was, you know, yeah, I thought it was, there's no telling what I thought it was, probably ammunition or something. I was big, you know. And turns out it was a jar of hot cocoa mix.
What?
A glass jar of hot chocolate mix, powder.
I wouldn't be mad.
And I did that. I was like, she ain't here. I'm fixing to rip this thing open.
Yeah.
And I ripped it open and found out it was hot chocolate, and I was so disappointed.
Really?
I thought it was like, of course, I loved hot chocolate.
Yeah.
And that was always a gift from her because she knew how much I liked it. But hot chocolate or ammunition.
Right.
Which, you know,
and you were thinking it was something else.
As a little boy.
Right.
You know, I would, you know, what else could it be?
Right.
And so anyway, it's just, you know, I had one of those stories and probably many more that I can't remember.
Were you ever taken to a store and presented with the opportunity to pick your own Christmas presents, but you couldn't have it until it was Christmas time?
Yeah, I remember that as a young child.
Did that many, many years, bro.
Yeah.
Used to drive me nuts. We would be in Walmart or somewhere, like I might be with Mama or Mom or whoever, and not necessarily at Christmas time, but even months before, I'd see something and be like, oh, I like that, or I want that, or whatever. And so I remember specifically one time, I don't know how old I was, but I know that the toy was a Woody from Toy Story.
Yes.
It looked like the one in the movie. Yes. You know? And I remember being like, oh, look, there it is. I want that. My mom didn't say anything. She just grabbed it, put it in the buggy, and I was like, am I getting it? She's like, nope, you can have it at Christmas. And it was like, I was, what? No, I didn't even, you know, I didn't even want that for Christmas. Too bad. You can wait till Christmas.
There you go.
And that's how she rolled, bro.
Yeah.
And it happened over and over. And it's like, there was a beautiful thing about that because you know that you're getting what you wanted, but the bad thing is you're not getting it now, mm-hmm. which is when you want it.
Oh, and then you had to try to forget about it.
Oh, my word.
Good grief.
So much stress as a child.
You know, I was just kind of related to what you said. We were going through some stuff at our grandmother's house the other day, and I found a Woody.
Did you?
And a Buzz Lightyear. And really? I promise you, that thing was a foot and a half tall.
Oh, that's a $30.
And,
it's
yeah.
Over there.
And, you know, Buzz obviously has buttons and stuff that mm-hmm. to make him work. And I was just curious. Man, I wonder if his thing still works. I guess it was Rusty's as a child or something, yeah. or one of their cousins. And took the batteries, the old batteries out, and stuck some new ones in. And sure enough, that booger still works.
Really?
You push the buttons, and he's, you know, and his wings pop out. Yeah. And just all kind of stuff.
See, that was my thing. With the Toy Story toys, I wanted ones that worked exactly the way the toys did in the movie.
Yes.
I wanted the little laser to do the uh-huh. and like you said, the wings to pop
yes,
out.
Yes, sir.
And I never could, on that note, I never could find a Woody with an actual pull string.
I'm trying to remember, we put that Woody up, obviously for our son that's coming. Mm-hmm. We put the Buzz Lightyear up. I'll have to dig that Woody out and see if he's got the string.
I hope he does.
But he had the hat, man, he had the boots, he was Woody.
Yeah.
You know, it was Woody. And I need to look and see if he actually had a pull string.
I watched Toy Story 3 for the first time the other day.
Did you cry?
I didn't cry, but I was my wife must have been cutting the onion or something.
Oh, that's oh, I wasn't crying. You were crying.
Yeah.
One of them deals.
It was very good. I was like, why did it take me so long to watch this? Yeah. You know, but it was a good little movie.
Yeah.
And I felt closure.
Well, you know they're coming out with a 4.
I saw that. That's what made me watch 3 is I saw the trailer for 4 and I was like, you know, I still haven't watched the 3rd one.
Yeah.
And me and Sarah watched it one night and I was like, why haven't I already watched it? I cried a little bit, bro. I'm going to go ahead and be open
I'll tell
about
you,
it.
It hit me right in the feels.
Dude, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it.
Well, Christmas is a good time of year, man.
It is, man.
It brings people together and like we did today, we went out and sang and tried to cheer people up. And,
mm-hmm.
and man, we just saw some awesome stuff today.
We did. And there's a, you know, there obviously there's people this time of year that are hurting.
Yeah.
And, you know, if that's you today, just know that we're thinking of you and we're mindful of you. And more importantly than that, the Lord is mindful of you. And he sees your hurt. He knows that what you're going through and what you've been through. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's all going to be okay. Because he's in control.
Amen.
And this is definitely the greatest time of year. It can be just you know, in the years past, there's been times, like just being transparent, because of all the societal norms now of, you know, there's Black Friday and it becomes all about this deal and that deal. It's not too hard to become a little bit of a Grinch.
Yeah.
And be like, buy a humbug. This isn't what it's all about anyway. It's all stressful. I'm broke now, you know, all that. Mm. But this year's been different for me personally, man. I've been very excited about Christmas this year, whereas a couple years back, I just wasn't, you know.
Yeah.
But I think on top of, you know, learning the stuff that we've talked about today and just taking the time in prayer to remember, you know, what Jesus did and like we've already established, it wasn't this time of year, but this is the time of year that we think about it.
Mm.
It just I'm genuinely excited, man.
Yeah.
It's a great time of year.
Two things related to Christmas, and I'll be done. I like what Pastor Winters preached about Sunday night, where I believe it was Pastor Winters that said, you know, at Christmas time, everybody gets a gift but Jesus.
Right.
And sometimes we forget him,
mm-hmm.
and we forget to give him a gift. And while it's not about giving gifts, you know, he went on to preach about worship and things mm-hmm. like that and how we need to worship him. That hit me so hard, and it's so true. You know, we forget to devote time, and if he's the reason for the season, then make him the reason.
Right.
You know, make him the reason that you celebrate. Guys, when you open your gifts Christmas morning or Christmas Eve, whatever your tradition is, include Christ, include Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, if it takes reading Luke chapter 2 or if it takes, you know, something, praying or singing a few worship songs, whatever. Just make sure you include Jesus.
Absolutely.
In what you do. And the last thing is, I remember watching one of the, because of the times, where Dr. Gerald Jeffers, he started out his message by singing, "Oh, come let us adore him."
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't Christmas time. What did they do because of the times in January?
Right.
Or February, mm-hmm. sometime like that.
Early in the year.
Yeah, early in the year. And he just bust out, start singing, "Oh, come let us adore him," you mm-hmm. know, and the whole place was singing a Christmas song, and that was the point that he made. Christmas isn't one day of the year.
Right.
It should be all year.
All year.
You know, that mindset and that joy that we feel, and that's the joy that Jesus desires for us to have.
That's right.
He wants us to feel like that year round. We don't have to lose it just because it's not November or December. So think about that.
Amen.
Selah.
And if you're wondering, well, how can I possibly give Jesus a gift? What can I give him? Your time. Just give him some time.
You could gift me some money on his behalf.
Well, there you go. As his son, I'll receive it.
Amen.
And tie to the church.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Well, before we go today, this is something, you know, like Brother Trey already mentioned, we had bigger plans for this, but we're going to end today by singing a Christmas song for you. We are not professionals, but we always have a good time.
Yes.
So at the end of this podcast now, we just want to present you with this little, I'll call it a treat. I'll call it a treat.
If they've made it this far, they deserve it.
That's right. So here you go, from Brother Trey and myself to you.
Merry Christmas.
Merry everybody. Christmas.
Sigh.